going to be talking about benefits of overcoming, benefits of overcoming trials, problems, struggles, tests, and believe me, we all have them. And this last week, in fact, this last month, I've been dealing with some allergies, and my face is even puffy a little today, my upper lip, some onset angioedema, they refer to it as. So I'm going through my own difficulties, but you go through yours. Each and every one of us goes through different difficulties, problems, struggles, tribulations, our own personal ones, and we move through them. Now the reason I picked this image, we can put this back up, is because of this dart going through this, looks like a concrete wall, and hitting the mark, hitting a bullseye, so to speak. Now, why is that significant? Well, we were asked about sin about a week or two ago, and what the definition of sin is, you know, what the word actually means. Well, we know the definition of sin is found in 1 John 3:4 and any other areas where, if you know to do good and you don't do it, to you it's sin. It all goes back to Yahweh's instructions. And this is where the wording comes in. In the Old Testament, it's the Hebrew word 2303 from Strong's, hatat. And it means, according to the Dictionary of Biblical Languages with semantic domains, an offense to a moral standard or violation of a standard. Well, what standard is that? Well, the Greek English lexicon of the New Testament, based on semantic domains as well, says to act contrary to the will and law of course they don't use Yahweh's name, but we've inserted it here, to act contrary to the will and law of Yahweh. In the New Testament, the Greek word is hamartia is actually a more correct pronunciation. It's the Greek Strong's 266. And according to Strong's Concordance, it means to miss the mark, to wander from the law of Yahweh, or to violate Yahweh's law. So whether you look at the Old Testament or whether you look at the New, the definition essentially is the same thing. So where do we get off today saying the law of Yahweh is done away with? Because the New Testament warns against sinning. It warns against pursuing or continuing in sin. It gives a warning that those that do, death awaits, and that's exactly what the Old Testament says. So there's a dovetailing of both the Old and the New, first and second, Tanakh, Brit HaKadosh. It's all one. And of course, what they had in the New Testament times was what we see from Genesis to Malachi today. Not necessarily in that order, but that's what they had. Now, in overcoming sin and other difficulties, James gives us some encouraging words. He says in 1 James 1:2-4, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So there's benefits, and we're going to look at some of these benefits today. James goes on to say in verse 12, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which Yahweh has promised to those who love him. And we've talked about this before. How do we love him? We love him by doing what he tells us to do, just like we would honor our parents by doing what they say to do. Being approved means hitting the mark, the bullseye, so to speak. It means not sinning. So I thought the image today was very fitting. Breaking through the barrier, hitting the mark, that's what we are needing to do. And, you know, sometimes the barriers, we just have to go around them to make the mark, to do Yahweh's will. I remember younger, I was having a really stressful day, and I'm pretty sure Yahweh presented this little ant to me. But this little ant was, I was sitting there kind of despondent. I was sitting on some steps, looking down, disgusted, quite frankly, because of what was going on. And I saw this ant going along, and there's this big clump of dirt, clod, you know, of dirt. And to the ant, this would have been a massive obstacle. Well, he just stopped, investigated a little bit, and then went right around it and kept in a straight line. That's what we are to do. And it's hard sometimes because we see obstacles in our way and sometimes we can't see past, but we know we have to get past them. And, you know, when we go through trials, when we go through troubles, we have to think that, well, this too will pass. This isn't going to last. There's something ahead. And so keeping in mind what's ahead is something that can get us past any current difficulties that we have. But when thinking of benefits and sales, one of the first things they teach you is how to relate benefits of the product of service to a potential buyer, to relate the benefits to others. A salesperson must know first what those benefits are. Another thing they teach in sales and marketing is that if you believe in the product or service yourself, you'll have a better time sharing the enthusiasm of such benefits with them. What are we seeking after? What are we desiring to have? What would the perfect outcome be once all is said and done in this life? What did the Apostle Paul think? You know, was waiting for him and all those that overcome to the end. Romans 8 and verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy." They are just not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So the time is coming, and he describes, you know, some of the things that are coming in 1 Corinthians 15, for example, resurrection chapter. You know, why do people think that they're going to go straight to heaven when it talks about resurrection? Just like sin, same in both, you know, when we consider the resurrection. They had the concept of resurrection in the times past. They had the concept of the resurrection in the New Testament. Nothing changed. It's ideas today that were brought in that are foul. They're disgusting. They're an abomination. They are not true according to the Word. And so this is why we need to stick with the Word and let the Word clarify itself. Because when we think that there's discrepancy, we have to think, why would there be a discrepancy against an inspired, with an inspired Word? There is not. It's our understanding that is a discrepancy. If we think we find a discrepancy in Scripture, we find unity in Scripture. We find unity in the belief of what was taught and held to. So what are the benefits of overcoming trials? Well, today we'll look at seven individuals and the lessons learned from their experience, which we can also relate to ourselves as we go through difficulties, and indeed we will. Each one has its own benefit. We're going to start out here with Abraham. And the benefit is we rely less on ourselves. We, in effect, become less self-reliant. And this is Abraham's example. Now, Abraham was tested. Genesis 21, or 22 rather, verses 1 through 2. "Now it came about after these sayings that Elohim tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. He said, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you." Now, we've talked about how faith and obedience are both needed throughout Scripture, that faith without works is dead. It was in the past. It was in the New Testament times. It's for us today. Faith without works is dead. This is a perfect example of faith in action with Abraham. Though we don't necessarily hear his audible voice, we nonetheless have his word, the Bible, telling us what he wants us to do. And the Spirit helps us and reminds us of the word. Abraham, according to his faith and obedience, relied on Yahweh rather than himself. he would have known that Isaac could have been, you know, raised up, resurrected, because that concept was already in existence. Abraham already knew the promises that Yahweh had promised through Isaac and trusted Yahweh would keep his word, which no doubt made it easier for him to obey. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man, and Yahweh is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. You know, my angioedema could have been a lot worse today. You see pictures on the internet of just how bad it can get. Yahweh didn't allow that today, so I'm able to be here today. And I have to consider, why is that happening? Is it just because I've had a history of allergies? I mean, I'm gluten intolerant, I'm lactose, I have allergies to lactose, milk. Or is there something else going on, something I need to pay attention to? So I need to consider that as I go through this difficulty. But I also just need to go through it and continue doing what I need to do, what Yahweh has given me to do. And you need to do the same, whatever difficulties you have. You need to go on and continue to learn of Yahweh's word and do it. It's as simple as that. And it really is our standard. Yahweh's word is our standard. So if we're not living by the standard, we're missing the mark. And we need to shoot straight and do his will and not subvert his will in our own life. Because his will is good for us. It does produce benefits. But Abraham was blessed, and here was a benefit for his hitting the mark, so to speak. Genesis 22:15-17. Then the angel of Yahweh called Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares Yahweh, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son." I mean, he was approved by his obedience. "Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens, as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies." You know, we receive baptism in the Spirit with promise, with the laying on of hands from the eldership, and yet, like Abraham, we are tested and tried. Every one of us, no one is excluded. While we don't have to face an identical trial or a testing as Abraham did here, we nevertheless go through trials that test our mettle. Thankfully, Yahweh promises not to give us something we cannot handle. Why? Because he knows our mettle is weak. But we have to go through some fiery trials. We have to go through things that strengthen our mettle, to give us endurance, that help us to be less self-reliant and more reliant on Yahweh. That's why we go through some of the things that we're going through. It's not because necessarily all the time, though it can be discipline, can be punishment, that happens as well. But some things just occur and are allowed because. And so, but because, I mean, they produce benefits to us. The second one is Daniel. So we draw closer to Yahweh is the benefit we find in Daniel's example. And this ties closely with number one. But Daniel prayed when faced with a trial. Daniel 6:7. All the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the high officials and the governors, have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any mighty one or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. This was to cause Daniel problems. And, you know, there were enemies against Daniel at this time. Well, Yahweh allowed this thing to happen, this law to be enacted, and it tested Daniel. Well, what was Daniel's response? But actually, we'll look at that as we go through here. verses 8 through 9 of Daniel 6. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which may not be provoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document that is the injunction. Verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows opened towards Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his Elohim, as he had been doing previously. Now, while Abraham faced the death of his son, Daniel faced his own death. That's actually maybe a little bit more of a severe trial than what Abraham faced. But then not necessarily, because didn't Daniel also recognize that Yahweh could have and would handle such a thing, and that he himself could be resurrected? I think these things were in their minds because it was known. While Abraham faced the death of his son, Daniel faced his own death, and in the face of death, drew closer to Yahweh. Do we ever face death? Well, at the end of our lives, we'll face death. Even at that time, it'll allow us to draw closer to Yahweh. We draw close to Yahweh and hit the mark. That is, you know, we don't sin, but rather do Yahweh's will. Sometimes we wonder why Yahweh allows suffering. And we can know that the world is suffering because of the original sin of Adam and Eve, but what about the faithful that suffer in their old age? Bringing them closer to Yahweh, I do believe. Could it be that, I think it is, that the sun is much brighter after the dark storm. And so there are certain things that are allowed, but there's benefits going through all of them. Number 3, we find Job. And the benefit is we learn patience. We have increased faith that Yahweh can see us through all difficulties. Now, Job was blessed physically, no doubt, as he was considered blameless for the most part, and Yahweh had put a hedge around him, according to the conversation we read of between Satan and Yahweh. But in Job 1-3, it says his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and many, very many servants, and that man was the greatest of all men of the East. So he had great wealth, and this would have been great wealth back at that time, even today. But he lost it all, as we read on Job 1:12-13. Then Yahweh said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has in your power, only do not put your hand on him." So Satan departed from the presence of Yahweh. Now on the day that when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, verse 14-15, and we'll continue down through 19, each slide. A messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were blowing and the donkeys feeding beside him, and the Sabaeans attacked and took them. They also slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The fire of Elohim fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and servants and consumed them. I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the 4 corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died, and I alone have escaped to tell you." Wow. One thing after another. But there's something significant here as well. It wasn't just man. Yahweh was involved. Yahweh controls weather, and he certainly controls fire from heaven. So Job would have known, this is Yahweh's doing. What's going on? After overcoming the testing and trials that he went through, he then receives double after the whole ordeal. And of course, we've read the account before. Some friends come to comfort him. They weren't any comfort at all. But it turns out that Job did have some self-righteousness about him. I mean, we can think, I'm keeping the Sabbath. I'm here every seventh day, and I keep the feast, and I eat clean, and I don't kick the neighbor's dog. I do good things, you know. And we can think that somehow we're really doing good, but and yet there's things that we find out about ourselves over time that we're not perfect. We know that we're not perfect. At least we should know that we're not perfect. I don't know anyone that is. So other than Yahshua, he was perfect, and he set the example of not sinning. So we're to follow in that example. James 5, 10 through 11. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of Yahweh. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of Yahweh's dealings, that Yahweh is full of compassion and is merciful. As Job suffered greatly, we do too at times. We're also promised much more if we overcome. Matthew 19:29, I'll read out of the New International Version on this one because it reads a little bit better. I've been reading through the New American Standard Bible. It says, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother and children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life." It's interesting that houses and fields are mentioned, as that is livelihood and security for a person, while brothers and sisters and the like are family. Incorporating these two things is like saying we must be willing to give up everything that could possibly matter to us. And it's true. I think that's exactly what is being said. We need to be willing to give it all. What did Yahshua do for us? What did he give? He gave his all. Now, he was like us in the sense that he had free moral agency, he had free will, but he chose to do Yahweh's will. He said, if at all possible, take this cup from me, but not my will, your will be done. So he acknowledged that he was doing Yahweh's will, and that's what we need to do as well. Even if it means everything, if we have to give up everything. Then saying one will receive 100 times as much and eternal life. It's beyond our comprehension. Yet we know that Yahweh is able to do as much for us and more, as he was for Job. What is promised to us in Messiah, therefore, is much, much greater. Number four, Moses. The benefit is we build spiritual muscle, discerning right from wrong, always striving to do what is right. In other words, we're able, through overcoming trials, making the right decisions, to build good, strong, moral character. And it is morally correct to obey Yahweh. Whether you're looking at the Sabbath or whether you're looking at eating clean, it's moral, it's correct, it's true, it's a standard. And that's where we need to be at. We need to walk in the standard that is before us. Moses started focusing on doing good and built spiritual muscle. Hebrews 11, 24 through 26. By faith, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of Elohim than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Messiah greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Hebrews 11, 27 through 29, by faith he left Egypt, and we of course leave Egypt symbolically behind today. It says, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood. So, of course, they put on the doorposts and these type of things, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. He didn't fear the wrath of the Pharaoh, just as Daniel did not fear the wrath of the king. However, he did fear Yahweh, as Abraham did, and as Paul and Job did. Joshua himself said in Matthew 10:28, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul or the being, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in Gehenna," in hell. Number five, we have Paul. And with his example and what he went through, we can learn compassion. We ourselves learn compassion going through a number of the things that we suffer through. We learn compassion towards others. Can we compare our suffering with the Apostle Paul? I doubt it very much. But in 2 Corinthians, we read 11:25-26, some of the things he went through. It says, "Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked." Three times. "A night and a day I have spent." You know, after the second time, I don't think I'd be stepping onto a ship. I have spent a night and a day in the deep. "I have been on frequent journeys, and dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from countrymen, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in wilderness, dangers in the sea, dangers among false brethren." Wouldn't that get old after a while? trying times. 2 Corinthians 11:27-29. "I have been in labor and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concerning for all the..." I forgot to switch out the word, meant to put in assemblies there. "But who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern?" Who is weak without my being weak? What is he saying? He's saying the same things that everyone else goes through, he went through as well, and more so. I mean, that's what I gather from it. There's probably some more depth there too. "But who is led into sin without my intense concern?" He was concerned because he knew that continued sin leads to death. The overcoming process that we're in is to overcome sin. It's not to continue in it. It's to stop it. It's to put it away. And we're given the Spirit as a help and a comforter for that very purpose and more. Some of us would have given up, I think, going through all this. But Yahweh knows that we're not as strong as he was to be able to have gone through all this. Yahweh won't give us more than we can handle. But we do go through some very hard trials at times. What did Paul learn through his trials? 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. "Blessed be the Elohim and Father of our Master Yahshua the Messiah, the Father of mercies and Elohim of all comfort." Who is our comforter? Yahweh. And it's his Spirit that provides comfort. "Who comforts us all in our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by Yahweh." We're given the opportunity to relate better, better understanding, compassion to others through various trials that we go through. 2 Corinthians 1:8-9. "For we do not want you to be aware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even unto life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in Yahweh who raises the dead." Did Paul know about the resurrection? Of course he did. Paul was Yahweh reliant through intense despair and affliction. He wasn't just sitting there watching an ant go and go around an obstacle. He was to the point of death. I've had that experience, have had a similar experience to the point of death, or wanting that, I think, in comparison to what I was going through at the time. It was a different time than the ant story, but we go through difficulties at times. We despair, we struggle. But we become more reliant on Yahweh in those times. And we know that it would be a sin to harm ourselves, so we pursue Yahweh's will within our lives, even when it's desperation is intense and we despair even unto life. But he became a stronger individual, I do believe, by going through all that. And we can be stronger as we go through things, especially as we see things resolved and we can look back on those situations and have hope that we can go through the current situation, whatever we find ourselves going through, any difficulty or suffering or trial. And all of this, it certainly would have helped him to be more compassionate. It helps us to be compassionate towards others. Number six, Joseph, the benefit. We become joyful. You ever go through a hard time, go through a storm, enter into the sunshine? Some have gone through that recently. They've lost houses. They've lost family members. They've lost friends. People are dying today because the help isn't coming as quickly to like areas like Puerto Rico, some of the other islands. They've run out of food. They've run out of water, and people are suffering. There's medical situations. They can't get the support in fast enough. Truly biblical proportions as far as destruction goes. And there's brethren that have lost houses. They've lost homes in Dominica, I think in Trinidad, also in Puerto Rico. So we need to keep them in prayer, because as they go through difficulties, we need to be a support to them, lift up them in prayer to Yahweh, and allow him to work within them to help them be strengthened so that they can be prepared for the future. Because what we're going through right now, what we all go through at times, prepares us, if we overcome, if we're steadfast in Yahweh's will, if we maintain and have keep in mind the promises that are given, it's preparing us for eternity. We're not going to take this flesh into eternity. We're not going to take our homes, our cars, or possessions into eternity. But we will take the character that is built here and now into the kingdom and beyond. We have to overcome. We have to remember some of the individuals that went through trials and troubles, like Joseph, Abraham, Job, and others. And this isn't a comprehensive listing, but it certainly gives us an idea of what some have gone through and what we may have to suffer ourselves and what we sometimes go through. We need to remember what the purpose is. Even if we think we've done no wrong, doesn't matter. We go through things to build us up, to test us, give us endurance, strengthen us, and we come out with joy in the end. Sometimes trials, quite frankly, take time to overcome. You know, I suffered with gluten intolerance for 25 years. With that, I suffered with stomach issues for 25 years. Until I changed my diet, I didn't find out about that. But as soon as that happened, a light switch was flipped, and I haven't had stomach problems since. What a blessing. Joy. It was at a feast, some of you may recall, had a kidney stone went through. That's one of the most painful things a person can go through. At least that's what I was told by a sister who, you know, had experienced childbirthing. She had also experienced a kidney stone and said the kidney stone was more painful than the childbirth. Well, I can attest to the fact that it was painful. And as soon as it passed, I received relief. And I was utterly joyful. I mean, exuberantly joyful, to the point where I took the stone and I was showing everyone. I'm like, look what just happened. And I was just joyful because it was so painful. Well, you know, there's a tribulation that's coming that's talked about in Revelation. Brethren are going to have to go through that. Brethren will also be protected. We talk about the fifth trumpet blast. Those that are sealed with Yahweh and Yahshua's name will be protected. They won't receive the boils and the troubles that are coming. So just like anciently, the Egyptians suffered along, and the, you know, Israelites suffered along with the Egyptians in the land of Goshen for the first few plagues. But then Yahweh separated them and only put the plagues on Egyptians. Parallels we find throughout Scripture. But Joseph was given dreams from Yahweh, foretelling his own future. Yet it seems that Joseph was tested by suffering under trial from his own family. Some of his brothers talked about killing him because they were jealous of him and his dreams, which were actually from Yahweh. Eventually, they settled to sell him into slavery as Yahweh presented that opportunity to them. In Genesis 39, 1 through 5, we come into the account of him being a slave in Egypt. We find even in slavery, Joseph lived and prospered. We'll go through verse 5. Now Joseph had been taken out to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer to Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, brought him from the Ishmaelites, who had taken him down there. Yahweh was with Joseph, so he became a successful man and was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that Yahweh was with him and how Yahweh had caused all that he did to prosper in his land, or in his hand. How did he know Yahweh was hit with him? Joseph must have declared, shared his faith, his belief in the Almighty, the creator of the universe, with him. And we're to do the same. And as Yahweh is with us and we move forward, Yahweh will bless us as well. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant, and he made him oversee over his house, and all that he owned he put in his charge. It came about from that time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned. Yahweh blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus Yahweh's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. Why was it that things worked out for Joseph? Wasn't it because Yahweh was with him? Since Yahweh is with us, won't things work out for us, even if we find ourselves in dire situations? And that's the point we see through this. As we go through the entire account, can our dire situation get worse before it happens? Yeah. Don't be surprised if we all find ourselves in jail someday because of our obedience to Yahweh and our faith in Yahshua, his son. As we recall the account of Joseph, we know he found himself thrown into the jail and unjustly for doing what was right, as his master's wife wanted to be intimate with him. But Joseph knew that would have been a sin in Yahweh's sight, so he literally ran from it. And we are to run from sin, quite frankly. While in jail for about 2 years, as far as I understand, he was able to discern a couple of the prophetic dreams of two of the men there. Eventually, the Pharaoh had a dream, but none could explain what it was about. Joseph was eventually brought in to explain what the dream meant. because one of them, whom he interpreted a dream for previously in jail, mentioned him to Pharaoh. And Joseph was able to interpret the Pharaoh's dream also because Yahweh gave him the ability to do so. And aren't we to pray that Yahweh will give us the words to speak if we are ever put before a magistrate or some officials and have to explain why we're doing the things that we're doing? It'll be a testimony to them, but we're told not to worry about what to speak. In Matthew 24, Yahshua tells us the end from the beginning, because he was given that from his father. Genesis 41, 39 through 40. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since Elohim has informed you of all this, there is, and we'll read through 44, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house according to all your command. All my people shall do you homage. Only in the throne I will be greater than you. Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set before you all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him with garments of fine linen, put a gold necklace around his neck. He had him ride in a second chariot. They proclaimed before him, bow the knee, and he was set over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, though I am Pharaoh, yet without your permission, no one will raise his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. So after he endured years of suffering, he was again blessed, but many times over. And I think we can relate some symbolism here to Yahshua, having overcome, being granted rulership, every knee bowing to him, but yet he was not the ultimate head. That is reserved for Yahweh. Yahweh, and then Yahshua, man, so on and so forth. And speaking of Yahshua, number 7, the benefit. We can enter the kingdom, essentially eternal life. Overcoming trials and tests to the end allows us to enter the coming kingdom. Eternal life without sorrow, pain, nor suffering anymore, but rather eternal joy and happiness. What was Yahshua's trials? He received stripes, insults, ultimately death. Matthew 27, 27 through 29. Then the soldiers of the governor took Yahshua into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. They stripped him, put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! You know, we get mocked for our beliefs. We get ridiculed, not to this extent, at least not at this point, us personally. I don't know of anyone personally that's gone through anything like this. But the disciples, the apostles, you know, even John, though he didn't suffer as much as the others, was still in jail, but he was given the ability to write down visions and such that he was given. But there's something much greater coming. And we get mocked, Yahshua is mocked, but we know the outcome of such things. Matthew 27, 30 through 31, they spat on him, took the reed, began to beat him on the head after they had mocked him. You imagine the crown of thorns, having that driven into your skull, scraping the skull, the points. After they had mocked him, they took the scarlet robe off him, put his own garments back on him, led him away to, I should have replaced that word with impale, basically, put him on the torture stake. We don't necessarily believe it was a cross because of the word steros, basically means stake, tree, that type of thing. But he also received all authority after all this, after being resurrected from the dead. Matthew 28, 18, and Yahshua came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. With that authority, he offers blessings to those who overcome. 7 more than we've gone over so far. Here's your homework. Read Revelation 2 and 3 tonight. Just read Revelation 2 and 3. Think about the benefits that are offered. I mean, we're talking benefits of sitting with Yahshua on his throne with him. And other benefits, they're listed there in Revelation 2 and 3 to the assemblies. To those who overcome. It's conditional. If we overcome, we'll be granted these things. Alternatively, if we are overcome, well, we're done. We don't want to be overcome with the world, ourselves, Satan, these type of things. We want to overcome and do Yahweh's will and make the mark. Hit the mark. We don't want to sin. We want to overcome sin. And we have been given the help to do so. So we put it behind us and we move forward. Just like the little ant, even if a big obstacle comes in our way, which might seem insurmountable, we go around it, or quite frankly, we go through it with the help of Yahweh. Because no obstacle is so big that we can't overcome it with Yahweh's help. We are given help through Yahweh's Spirit to overcome the world. Yahshua had Yahweh's Spirit and help, and that is good news for us. There is hope in his words and example. Yahshua tells us in John 16:33, "In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." So the help that he received in doing so is given to us, and we are given that help to overcome. We are to focus on things above, things that are spiritual. Why? Because these things we know will last forever. Galatians 6, 7 through 8, "Do not be deceived. Yahweh is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from his flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Now, while we've addressed a few of the benefits today, as in all good sales presentations, we'll no doubt be able to consider and think of more as we meditate upon Yahweh's word and gracious and merciful love towards us throughout this coming week. As we had read earlier in Romans 8:18, we can also with confidence confirm and say, individually and collectively, Romans 8:18, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us in Messiah." Hallelujah.